Good morning. It is Thursday, August the 29th of 2024. The time is 9:07. Currently overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our 98.9 WXCO studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 63 degrees is the temperature. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to Facebook.com, go to the Bow Falls Radio page, click there, be able to see a video stream, be able to add your questions and comments there as well. And also, we are very much encouraging you to join us by either calling or texting us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here on the program. Coming up here in this hour at 9:20, we will be joined by a candidate for office as we are heading now towards the general election in 2024. And we'll talk to, I think, a candidate in one of the most closely watched state assembly races in Wisconsin, because it's basically a 50-50 district. It is a district that the Democrats need if they have hopes of trying to flip the state assembly in the November elections. And we will talk to 85th Assembly District candidate Yi Leng Zhang coming up at 9:20 this morning. And then in our final segment of the show at 9:50, we'll be having our daily history lesson, talk about some famous events that occurred on this date in history, some celebrity birthdays, some reasons to acknowledge today, special events, and of course, our number for the day quiz with one Ian Welsh. And right now, Time to finally have a proper introduction, because again, Thursdays seem to be so busy. We start off with Pat Kreitlow and then we run right through the first hour of this show. But right now, let's take a moment, let's take a deep breath, and let's give a proper introduction to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
I don't know.
For the number of the day today.
I think you are, and you're off again. You're having another very good week. You're 2-1 so far, 2 out of 3. So that's 67%, which is way above our 33% threshold.
Yippee.
And you still have a chance, if you're able to get it right today and get it right tomorrow, to match your record of 4 out of 5. We're still looking for that week where you run the table. Which is very, very hard. Very, very hard, because these questions, they're not easy questions where you say, oh, snap the fingers and I know exactly what it is.
They're very unique.
They're unique, and that's right. We always have a number for the day. I give Ian 3 choices, and he tries to do his best to guess the correct answer. And I got to say, when we first started it, you were off to a bit of a slow start. You had some weeks where you had a week there, I think you almost had none right. I can't remember. You had at least like 3 or 4 days in a row you were getting wrong, and you were going 1 for 5 and struggling. But boy, in the last 2 months or so, it has been winning week after winning week. So it's been a very good turnaround. It's like you are in the groove recently in terms of getting these answers.
That's the power of a persistence for you.
Going with your gut. That's what you've been doing. Going with your gut.
You can never be a failure if you don't stop trying.
Well, are you ready to get a little preview of where we're going to be heading when we get to about 6:56 this morning? The topic of the number for the day?
You mean a 9:56. You said 6:56.
Man.
It's almost the end of the week.
My numbers are sometimes all over the place. So 9:56, you're right.
Yes, I'm ready for the topic.
We're going to go into a time machine, go back to 6:56, I think. No, 9:56, we'll wrap things up. Okay, this morning, when we get to the number for the day and our number for the day quiz, the topic will be gun stores.
Gun stores.
Gun stores.
A big political issue and a very talked about conversation that I think we should have more conversations about.
Yeah,
honestly.
There you go. And the thing about it is, gun stores are not the problem.
It's because they
could be selling legal firearms, and there are, and those people that are looking to try to control some of the firearms, doesn't mean you want to get rid of every firearm. No,
it just means
you don't want to have
regulation.
Yeah, regulation to keep them out of the hands of those that shouldn't have them, and perhaps to keep out weapons of war. I mean, there are certain weapons that are used for war. It's not like going deer hunting here in central Wisconsin. No. So there's always going to be room for the gun shop and the gun owners and the gun stores. So, but today it will be gun stores. So
gun stores.
We will give you more, give you the actual number and the full description of what the number is coming up in a little bit here in this show. Hey, we're getting very, very close to the weekend. I got to tell you, I'm getting ready. I am so ready. I love the long weekend. And I love that third day.
Weekends are always nice.
Yes. So we're going to have a show on Monday, but what we did is we actually pre-recorded it. So it's going to be pretty much a new show.
We'll still be here. We just won't be here in person.
Right. So we decided that, you know, it's a holiday. We're going to do a show, but we're going to play it back recorded. So that day there won't be any video stream, and there won't be any phone calls or texting that day. But we will still have a show. We're going to bring back a couple of previous interviews, but also have segments where me and Ian are shooting the breeze and talking about some of the news, and also also we will have our history lesson. We will have our number for the day, even though it's going to be on Labor Day. So make sure you tune in on Monday morning for
so
the
you can
program.
Still be keeping a track at home if I get it right next week.
And also, don't forget on Monday as well. Make sure you don't forget that we do have the Wausau Labor Day Parade.
Oh yes,
and really want to make sure that you are involved in it. I will be part of it myself. Again, it's always fun to be part of the Wausau Labor Day Parade. I will be the announcer, and again, I got to look it up. And I keep saying I got to look it up, but I do have to look it up to try to see how many years I've been doing it. It's been a lot of years. I know it's been into the double digits now, but it's been such a fun activity. I've done it every year. I'm always happy to be asked to do it again by the Labor Council, the Marathon County Central Labor Council, Randy Ratke, of course, the president, and so many great folks involved with it. But coming up on Monday, Wausau Labor Day Parade, again, brought to you by the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council. And it starts with a lineup. If you're part of the parade itself, you line up starting at 3 p.m. on the corner of West Wausau Avenue and 3rd Avenue. The parade will start at 4 p.m., proceed down 3rd Avenue, and at the Wausau Labor Temple. That's where our reviewing stand will be. That's where I will be. And if you are at the Wausau Labor Day Parade, get there early, bring your lawn chairs, get your favorite spot on the parade route, but also come on by, say hello. I'd love to hear from you if you're somebody that tunes in either to the radio station or to this show or our sports broadcast, whatever it may be. We'd love to hear from you. And again, I will be the announcer on Monday. The Grand Marshal will be the guy that's coming in just a few minutes. I'll actually ask him about that, being the Grand Marshal. That's a big honor for Yi Leng Zhang. So,
indeed.
We'll have the announcer and the Grand Marshal talking here today, and then we'll have both of us will be part of the parade coming up on Monday.
And hopefully the weather will be very nice.
It looks like it, according to Brittany, and she's usually right. So,
oh, yes.
The Citizen of the Year for the Labor Day Parade is Dorothy Miller. Organization of the Year is the Marty Bus. And the parade will occur, and then after the parade, the folks involved will get together on the reviewing stand, and there'll be speeches. Our Grand Marshal will have a speech. The Citizen of the Year is invited to speak. And so stick around after the parade ends. Come on by. I'll still be around there, so you can say hello there as well. So, again, hopefully it's going to be, as Brittany says, a beautiful sunny day, temperature in the low 70s. Should be a perfect day for a parade. And I know it'll be a perfect day for you to be down in Milwaukee and seeing the Brewers on Monday. So I know you're looking forward to that.
My family and some of my extended family from down in Burlington are going to be going to a Brewers game on Monday. It should be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. So it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of folks this weekend. And hopefully you take advantage of it. It really is the gateway to the fall. It's sort of the unofficial end of summer. As I said, it's the unofficial start of the fall campaign, and really should be a terrific weekend weather-wise and a terrific way to finish up August and get into September. And of course, we will have as well the start of school for, I mean, Newman Catholic actually started school last Thursday. The kids at Newman have been already going to school for a week, but students at Wausau West and Wausau East and others will be heading back to school coming up. But again, to wrap up the the summer, in a sense. It's still going to be nice, but the summer, the Labor Day parade coming up, and hope to see you there on Monday. In fact, I see the Grand Marshal himself has come on over, and very happy to welcome back to the program Grand Marshal of the Wausau Labor Day Parade, Yi Leng Zhang, and, of course, candidate for the 85th Assembly. Going to get a couple of extra minutes. What does it mean to you being the Grand Marshal on Monday? That's got to be quite an honor.
Well, you know, Chad, I think being involved with the parade in general has always been an honor, and I'm just thankful this year to have been chosen as the Grand Marshal by the Labor Council. It's an honor because of the fact that my father was also a union worker as mm-hmm. well, too. So it's always been, you know, it's just an honor in general.
Well, I will say something, and I know that for some people it's not a great memory, but the Grand Marshal last year was running for office and won.
Oh, really?
Doug Denny was the Grand Marshal last year running for the mayor of Wausau, and he won. So maybe that's a little bit of a launching pad towards the election for you. But again, I'm looking forward to being there as the announcer, looking forward to seeing you there as a citizen of the year, Dorothy Miller, and everybody with the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council. It's been such an honor working with them over the years, and I'm always so thrilled to be part of that, and looking forward to seeing you there as well. You'll be, assuming in a vehicle with the Grand Marshal. Parades are just fun, aren't they? It's just fun to get the community together and really have a good time.
Yes, and we're looking forward to having you be our announcer, Chad.
Well, we're going to talk about some serious issues with the 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee. Now, it's official because even we knew you were going to be the nominee because you were running. But the primary just a few weeks ago, we'll talk to Yi Leng Zhang coming up in just over 1 minute. So over 1 minute, and we'll be back and have Yi with us. Glad you could be with us here this morning. The time is 9:18, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. We all get it in the end. Just gotta get used to it. We go down and we come up again. Just gotta get used to it. You irritate me, my friend. This is no social crisis. This is you having fun. No crisis. Getting burned by the sun. This is true. This is no social crisis. And welcome back. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Civic Media app, and also, again, you can join us on Facebook.com by going to the Bull Falls Radio page and being able to click on the link and be able to see a video stream and add your questions and comments there as well. Thursday morning, getting closer and closer to the holiday weekend, but very happy to talk some politics and some government and talk about vision with 85th Assembly Democratic nominee Yi Leng Zhang. And Yi, again, great to see you. Glad you can come back into studio.
Thank you, Chad, for having me here. It's always a pleasure.
I tell you, again, I said this to you last time you were on, you have so many hats that you do wear that you're such a busy guy, and then to add this campaign on top of it. And I just mentioned to you during our last break that I was talking to a member of the campaign staff for Kamala Harris here in Central Wisconsin, and we're just talking about the lay of the land here in Central Wisconsin when it comes to Democratic politics, and he was so very impressed with the work that you do. And I thought, my thought was, well, that's not a surprise because that's what you do. You do a lot of work. But in terms of this campaign, and he mentioned that he was so impressed with the number of doors that you knock on, and you said to me that that's something you really like. And I have to admit that whenever I have thought, oh, maybe I want to get involved, that would be one of the hardest things for me to do. And I think for other people as well, but you kind of, you put your arms around it. Can you talk a little bit about the whole part of the campaign where you do talk to folks that you knock on a door. You're not really sure all the time whether or not it's going to be a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, somebody that agrees with you or disagrees with you. What's the experience like of talking to folks here in the central Wisconsin in the 85th Assembly District, that moment where you're knocking on the door and then talking to folks that maybe you don't know, first time you're ever meeting?
Yeah, thank you, Chad. You know, first, you know, obviously, I'm a person who loves to give back to the community. I'm a person that loves to hear about challenges that folks are experiencing. Now, I'm going to be very transparent. I am introvert. You know, I call myself an introvert extrovert. So after talking to people, I need to recharge. But one of the things I always remember when I'm talking to community members is that I'm listening to their concerns, to the issues that impacts them on a daily basis here. So most importantly here, when I'm talking to these folks, I take it very seriously, because I want to make sure that I'm listening to their concerns. And I am hearing the concerns. And I'm hearing that throughout when I'm knocking on doors is that people in the 85th Assembly District are tired of the gridlock, tired of the the infighting, the fighting that's happening. They want us to get back to the traditional, getting back to the basics, focusing on the issues, working across party aisles to get issues addressed. And some of the issues that they're telling us is to address the affordability crisis, such as child care, housing, expanding healthcare, talking about protecting reproductive freedoms, you know, and also making sure that our community is safe by providing the actual, the necessary resources to fund our first responders so that they don't have to go back to referendums to ensure that our communities are safe.
And something that kind of jumps out to me when you talk about a list of those issues, and those are all very important issues that do affect the day-to-day lives of the people in the 85th and throughout the state of Wisconsin, you can't get to the point of actually fixing some of those issues or working towards making it better, because sometimes you just want to push that ball down the field a little bit to make it move forward towards the goal line. But you have to have that will to do it. Exactly. And when you talk about gridlock, and there's sometimes this feeling that the state legislature doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, for lack of a better term, that and when I say they don't work, they literally don't show up for many parts of the year. And then when they're there, they're not really doing the job as well. Having that first step to say, hey, we want to come in and actually do things. And in the state of Wisconsin, there's a tradition of working across the aisle. It's just changed. It feels like in the past decade or two. But I mean, you go back, maybe I'm going to show my age here a little bit, maybe more than yourself, but you go back not too long ago when Tommy Thompson was the governor, he would be winning with 65% of the vote. At the same time, he'd be voting for Herb Kohl for the United States Senate. There was a lot of what you call ticket splitters and a lot of working across the aisle. Tommy Thompson would do it himself. This state has a tradition of that that we probably should get back to, and that sounds like one of the goals that should you go to Madison, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you look at my track record, I work across party aisles regardless of your partisanships or regardless of your ideology to ensure that we're tackling issues. You know, look at my track record on the school board, you know, lowering taxes, keeping high quality services, you know, ensuring our teachers getting paid. Look at my, you know, my track record on the county board. You know, I'm working to ensure the students that we have the actual resources to serve students with disabilities, providing mental health care for students in schools by sort of supporting coalitions, you know, supporting a radio tower for our public first responders. I've worked across the aisle, and this is not about partisanship. Mm-hmm. It's about doing what's best for the 85th Assembly residents.
And also, again, when you talk about your experiences, I do think those are important, because some of the same issues you work on, but just at a different level, because the issues are basically in a lot of ways the same. Because in fact, should you go to the assembly, you'd probably be working on the same issues, but maybe from just a different bit of an angle. Correct?
That is 100% correct here. You know, I think it's always important to note that, you know, whatever issues we're experiencing here, whether it's protecting protecting reproductive rights, you know, ensuring our community is safe and addressing the affordability crisis, those are issues that are also felt across in other areas across the state here. And, you know, I'm as you said here, Chad, I'm just going to be addressing them at a larger level, working with people across both aisles and trying to get rid of that gridlock and getting these issues addressed.
Maybe when you talk about working across the aisle, what's been an example? Because especially on the county board, you have to work across the aisle, because frankly, there's a lot more folks across the aisle than maybe on your side of the aisle when it comes to the county board. Just be on the makeup of it. Could you give an example maybe of a a policy or an issue that you did work on with somebody with a different political viewpoint that helped the people of Marathon County?
Yeah, I think the one of the most important one is obviously local, looking at our, you know, specifically because I chaired the social services board, is working with folks like Al Jerrybeck, who's a county supervisor, who's in the more rural area, mm-hmm. you know, and I've worked with him to address issues that's impacting our students and our children by looking at, you know, looking at bringing in more CLTS social workers to help students with disabilities as well. You know, you look at my role on the DC or school board, one of the things that we focus on is not who's blue or who's red, but focus on what's best for our students, you know, and that includes, you know, even if it means that we're looking at and being creative with funding sources. I mean, look at the Greenhack Turner building. You know, we worked with our community together to raise money without raising taxes, you know, and using that money here to build a magnificent community center to ensure that our students have the ability to be able to be experience new activities and new efforts.
Massive facility over at the DC Everest. It's so very impressive. I haven't actually gone into it yet. I'm very looking forward to it as we get into the new school year and I, you know, do some broadcasts over there. But that's a really a very impressive piece of work done by the folks in the DC Everest School District. We have a information update coming. We'll have news, weather, and sports, and then we're going to come back and kind of delve into some of these issues. I got some issues I want to talk about here with Yi Lang Zhang, and then we'll come back as well, talk about the rundown. I think it's less, is it like 9 weeks or something along those lines until Election Day?
I believe so.
and the way time is flying this year is going to go by really quickly. So we'll talk to 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee Yi Lang Zhang coming up after this information update. News, weather, sports, all coming up top and bottom of every hour here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We're talking to 85th Assembly Democratic nominee Yi Lang Zhang here on the program. Let's talk about a few different issues, and I'm going to start with one that kind of, I'm fortunate to have a microphone in front of me so I can actually ask issues that affect me as well as the folks out there. But I think it does affect a lot of folks as well because I live in Weston, and I think that's your part of the area as well. I am in the 85th Assembly District, so Pat Snyder right now is my assemblyman. You could possibly be starting in 2025, but I have lived as a renter. I'm not a homeowner. I'm a renter in Weston, and I've lived in the same apartment complex for a lot of years. And I have just got my new lease agreement, and it's popping up again. The rent prices have continued to go up significantly every year. And housing, I think, is one of those issues that every level of government really has to deal with, whether it's the local level, whether it's the state level, and the federal level as well. What are your ideas in terms of dealing with what I think is a housing crisis, whether you're a renter or whether you're a homeowner?
Yeah, thank you, Chad. That's a really good question because we, you know, it's no secret that in this area here, we're struggling with a supply of affordable housing or even housing in general here. And, you know, this isn't an issue that government can fix by itself, but it's an issue that we can work with our private entities, you know, our local governments, working with nonprofit organizations, working to get these issues addressed. You know, whether it's looking at zoning laws, whether it's looking for incentives, whatever there may be, we need to be open-minded and work with our partners to address these issues and increase the supply, you know, and once we get that, you know, it's just a simple economics discussion, the supply and demand, you know, so we need to be able to work with partners and be at that table having that discussion. We can't silo ourselves away.
Frankly, when I've been thinking about that issue, and again, I think when it gets a little bit personal, you start thinking about it a little bit more, that I would like to see from government. I think it kind of touches on what we were talking about a little bit earlier about this will to work to get things done, that this feels like an issue that needs to have almost one of those moonshot mentalities to it. And I don't know if it's let me ask you, I guess I won't answer the question, I'll ask you the question, is there a level of seriousness about this, whether at the local level, the state level, or the federal level from your point of view? Because I don't think there is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to say about that about other folks, but I know for me specifically, it's a big issue. You know, I'm an individual that it breaks my heart when I'm seeing individuals homeless. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it breaks my heart when people are struggling to pay rent. I worked as an executive of a nonprofit, an organization that basically helps underserved community members. So I know the challenges. I know how saddening it is. I work at a school district that every year we get a homeless report as well, mm-hmm. too. We want to make sure that we're helping everybody up, helping ensuring that everybody, this is not about giving handouts, it's about helping everybody up so that they can be able to chase that American dream. And I take it very seriously, and I intend on taking that same seriousness as well when I go to the state.
And you've also mentioned you are a member of the board for DC Everest, and I would say that DC Everest schools have been very successful in being able to work through the issues that a lot of school districts have been going through. If you get to Madison, in terms of the thing that I mentioned to you as well, next year is a budget year, so obviously a lot of issues will be coming onto the plate with the state budget, the two-year budget that will be worked on, a very difficult process at times. But when it comes to education, when you obviously have your hands dirty because you work in a lot of these issues at the school board level, at the school district level, boy, there's a lot of referendums out there. There's a lot of issues where it's not about building. It's about just having enough money coming in to pay the bills and keep the lights on. Again, it seems like it's an issue that needs a major focus. When you, based on what you've seen at DC Everest and what you've heard from other maybe school board members, because I'm sure that there are meetings around the state sometimes when school board members get together, what will you be most focused on when it comes to schools, school funding, and just generally the education issue in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, thank you, Chad. First I want to say that it's important to note that Madison has been balancing its budget on the backs of local governments. You know, that's not my saying. That's what all the county leaders have been saying as well, too. And it's important to note that the school districts are not just going to referendums to keep it, to stay operating. We're also seeing villages, local governments going to do safety referendums as well, too, to appropriately fund their law enforcement and their firefighters as well, too. So there's many concerns that is going on, and we need to take action to address a lot of those issues. I want to focus on issues that are addressing my core. Marathon County has the most prosperous, healthiest, and safest county as kind of its model, mm-hmm. and I want to bring that as well to the state. And I would say that the first priority that I would be focused, because I have so many priorities that I want to take on, but I have learned to take it easy and take one step at a time. And one of the first ones I want to focus on is expanding healthcare, and that includes accepting the expansion of Medicaid as well, too, because that would provide, health care coverage to over 87,000 Wisconsinites. You know, we're one of 10 states that has not accepted it. And that's money that we need in order to ensure that our Wisconsinites are being taken care of.
Isn't that amazing? To be honest with you, that Wisconsin's one of 10, and most of those other 10 are either deep south or deep red states. And this is a state that is not either of those, and I think that goes back again to maybe what one of the points you made early on is about working together, that I can't imagine that that would not be an issue that what we've seen Republicans and Democrats work on in other states around the country, that could be one that could be, again, for lack of a better term, an easy win for both parties, right?
Exactly. We're ensuring that people are being covered. We're helping individuals, helping our own neighbors. That should be priority for Wisconsinite.
When you talk about healthcare.
Pardon the interruption, but we do have a caller who actually has a question.
Oh, are you okay with a caller, Yee?
Sure.
All right, first of all, caller, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
Go ahead.
Good morning, Chad. This is Tony Gonzalez calling you from Wausau.
Tony, good to talk to you. Got a question for Yee.
Yes, and mainly because we both know the same people with Yee, in particular Representative Pat Snyder. I keep looking on TV and these commercials that come that are paid by PACs, supposedly, and they defame people and everything. And I know there's been a long relationship between the Hmong community, Yi Ling in particular, and these representatives who have helped pass bills like teaching Hmong history and things like that. And then we got commercials that come out and say, Pat Snyder's a danger to woman. He's doing this and that. Is there anywhere a point where campaigns want to get the record straight and say, look, I don't stand behind that. Even if it's a pack, that's not where I'm at. I mean, so we run clean campaigns, and particularly people that, after all, going to have to work with each other.
Tony, thanks for the question. And any response to that?
Yeah, thank you, Tony. It's good to hear from you again as well, too. I want to say that it's very important to note that, to throw it out there just a little bit about campaigns. That is funded by independent expenditures. So our campaign doesn't have any communications with them specifically. But I think I also want to emphasize that for me as an individual here, just because you're my opponent doesn't mean I hate you. Mm-hmm. It means that we have difference of ideas and we're working together to better this community here. I mean, we need to look back to the time where, I think people always bring up the time when John McCain and President Obama, the competition, the cordial, the mm-hmm. fact that they disagreed with one another, but they still respect one another. And we need to go back to the basics, basics of treating each other with respects. And I intend on doing the same. I have a tremendous amount of respect for my opponent, and also have respect for everybody that disagrees with me as well too. It's not about being who's red or who's blue, who's Republican or who's Democrat. It's about being a Wisconsinite and American first, and it's about addressing and ensuring that everyone, our neighbors, are all taken care of, just like how neighbors do, just like how Midwestern folks do as well.
Let me ask you about the issue of reproductive rights, because I do think that the commercial that Tony was acknowledging was basically talking about the position that Pat and the Republicans in the state legislature have been pursuing since Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I do think that is a significant difference between the parties, correct?
Yes, it is. And, for me as an individual, this is my strong belief is that every Wisconsinite has the right to reproductive freedom. They have the ability, they should have the have access to be to legal and safe and, safe, abortions if they need it specifically. We need to make sure that and understand that women's reproductive rights is also Wisconsinite and American rights as well.
Again, we're talking to 85th District Democratic nominee Yi Leng Zhang here on the program. As I mentioned as well, again, that next year is a budget year, and we've seen funding being held back by the state legislature. And again, maybe going back to something you said earlier on, the idea of not working is kind of along those lines. When you look at next year, because again, I think priorities and budgets go together. I mean, there's no better way to know what a priority is than to look at anybody's budget, whether you're a family or whether you're a government. I think we've touched on a few of the other issues. What are some of the other budgetary issues that if you are elected that you would be focused on during the budget process next year?
As part of my platform, obviously here I want to address the affordability crisis, addressing child care, looking at other initiatives and bills that are resolutions that are being brought up as well too that will address the child care crisis in our community here. We know that there is a shortage of child care centers. We know that pay for child cares for child care workers is low as well too, and there's not many professions as well. We lost a huge amount of child care centers in the last 10 years of our called correctly here. And we need to look at addressing that, because if we don't, that continues to contribute to preventing us from progressing forward. I want to also look at addressing, obviously, as we talked a little bit about the housing crisis as mm-hmm. well too. So there's so many that we need to address, and we can't kick this down the road anymore. We need to address these issues sooner or later.
What about tax policy? Because I do think when we talk about this, whether it is the budget surplus or whether or not all the tentacles, I would say, kind of are part of this tax policy itself, because I do think there's a rather significant amount of folks that do think that too much of the tax policy is targeted towards the wealthiest people in our communities, whether or not it's in terms of giving back money that's part of a surplus or not. Generally, what is your tax policy? Where should we be going in terms of, because I think in a lot of these issues, again, just to kind of branch out my thought here, is whether it's healthcare or housing or tax policy, that there's a lot of working around the edges. And I think sometimes we have to maybe take a deeper dive into it. And I'm maybe asking you to maybe go a little deeper than maybe you're ready to at this point. But generally, if you were able to draw up tax policy or changes within tax policy in the state of Wisconsin, what would your ideas be?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chad. So I work as a nonprofit executive. So one of the things I like to do is stretch every dollar, every penny I can. So, you know, that's how I was brought up, and that's how I worked as a nonprofit executive. And I intend to do the same thing what I've been doing at the Village of Weston, the county board, and also the D.C. or school board, keeping taxes low and ensuring that we have high-quality services. Now, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, I wouldn't mind supporting, you know, better services as well, too. But we also need to be creative. And then one of the reasons, one of the things that I'm proud of is the fact that if you look at your D.C., if you're in the D.C. or school district, you will notice that your taxes, you know, your property taxes were lowered because of initiatives by the school board. And I was proud to be part of the effort. I was proud of being part of that effort of, you know, of the fact that we were able to build a new community center without raising any of the tax levies or without, without any raising any tax property, which was, and that was 100% from the donor, community donors. We were proud of being able to build a new administration building without raising additional tax dollars. It was about working together, being smart and fiscally responsible.
Well, we are heading down the stretch in terms of the campaign. Well, actually, not down the stretch. We're actually getting into the getting onto the track, maybe a better way to putting it. But 85th Assembly District here in Central Wisconsin will be very interesting to keep an eye on. And Yi Leng Zhang, again, appreciate you. We just scratched the surface, I think, on a lot of these issues, but I really appreciate you coming on and talking about it. Look forward to seeing you on Monday at the parade, and hopefully we'll get you back on real soon.
Thank you, Chad. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. The time is 9:48. Coming up next, it's our daily history lesson, and we'll have our number for the day quiz with Ian as well here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Today is August the 29th of 2024, so that means that it is day number 242 of this year, and there are 124 days remaining in 2024. So
it's going by fast.
It certainly is. And we're coming to the end of another month, and be September here this weekend. So again,
yes, it will.
Just flying right on by. But here on the 29th of August, there are plenty of famous events that occurred on this date in history. Back in 1896, chop suey. Where do you think chop suey was invented?
I'm not really a big fan of chop suey, but I don't really...
Well, I mean, it sounds like a Chinese...
It does
right?
sound in Chinese.
No, yeah. But it was invented in New York City, so it's American.
Really?
Chop suey is American.
I did not know that.
On this date in 1898, the Goodyear Tire Company was founded. Do you know where the Goodyear Tire Company is based out of?
Ooh.
That's a hard question.
I do not.
Akron, Ohio.
I've
always known that. Akron, Ohio. Actually, both Goodyear and Firestone based in Ohio. Nice. On this date in 1958, the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, was born. On this date in 1966, the last Beatles concert played in San Francisco, California. On this date in 1999, thieves in Melbourne, Australia, stole a truck loaded with toilet paper. Street value, $18,900. Going to sell that toilet paper on the streets.
Oh, boy.
I mean, if it had been sold in 2020, then you got a lot more money for it.
Absolutely.
On this date in 2005, I remember this, hard to believe it's 19 years ago. But Hurricane Katrina devastated much of the U.S. Gulf Coast from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle, killing more than 1,800 and costing over $125 billion in damage.
I remember Katrina.
Yep. On this date in 2017, another hurricane, Hurricane Harvey, set a rainfall record of 51.88 inches in Cedar Bayou from a tropical cyclone in the continental U.S. And on this date in 2022, a big rig crashed and spilled hundreds of pounds of tomatoes when it drove into a center divide in Vacaville, California. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays here on the 29th of August. Elliot Gould, the actor, many movies. He was in the original MASH movie, which was before the TV series. Mm-hmm. He was in the Ocean's 11 film series and also in Contagion. Elliot Gould is 86 years old today. Actor Rebecca De Mornay, probably best known for her role opposite Tom Cruise in Risky Business. Rebecca De Mornay is 65 years old today. Chris Hadfield, he was the first Canadian to walk in space, is also turning 65 years old today. Actor Carla Gugino from Spy Kids, The Haunting of Hill House, and Entourage is 53 years old today. Leah Michelle of Glee, and also the mayor, is 38. Charlotte Ritchie of Call the Midwife, she is 35. And Liam Payne of One Direction is 31 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is National Lemon Juice Day. It is National Sports Day. It is Chop Suey Day. It is Individual Rights Day. And it is More Herbs, Less Salt Day. So that make you healthier. All righty then, as okay. Jim Carrey would say.
Yes.
It is time for our number for the day and our number for the day quiz with the one and only Ian Welsh. And so far this week, Ian, what are you?
I am a 2 out of 3.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
67%, right?
Yep, 67%. But we still have some work to do because
there's always room to improve.
Number one, absolutely. By the end of the week, you want to have more right answers than wrong answers.
Absolutely.
So you still need to get one of the final two correct in order to have more right answers than wrong answers.
Hopefully two of them.
And yeah. Also, you want to tie your all-time record, which is 4 out of 5.
Yes.
So if you get both today and tomorrow right, you would be able to tie your all-time mark of 4 out of 5 and 80%. So
someday I will get the 5 out of 5.
Oh, well, someday. we're gonna keep working on that. All right, our number for the day.
Gun stores.
Yep. The number of federally licensed gun stores in the United States, according to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. So federally licensed gun stores in the United States of America.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 55,900? Is the correct answer 105,900? Is the correct answer 155,900?
Okay.
So 55,900, 105,900, 155,900. The number of federally licensed gun stores in the United States of America.
That's pretty impressive, no matter what number it is, but going with my gut here, I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with 105,900 stores.
All right.
B is my final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer. Sticking with it.
The correct number, the correct answer for the number of federally licensed gun stores in the United States of America, according to the Bureau of Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, is 55,900.
Oh, the smallest number.
Yep.
Oh, I took a shot.
But that does mean that
be in the top
tomorrow's
game tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's big because if you get it right, you have more right than wrong this week.
Yes.
If you get it wrong, more wrong than right. That's yeah. So
nope.
We'll look forward to that. Yes. Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks again to our guests. We have Pat Kreitlow, Brittany Merlot, and also Yi Leng Zhang. So, again, thanks to all of our guests here today. And also Tyler Kramer, the Wausau East football coach. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, heading into the holiday weekend. So, hope you can join us then. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.